Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In this episode, I'm slowing down to speed up. This topic that I'm covering, I have covered before. I consciously lean into repetition as mastery. This is truly at the foundation of what is necessary to create a foundation. This is the foundation of creating a foundation. Of creating a foundation in your marriage, in your parenting, in your life, under your feet. Quite literally, when we say it's like this, the metaphor, finding your feet. This is what is necessary to show up in the human experience and create a meaningful experience in this beautiful, sacred human life of yours. It's not spoken too much, and yet in my own life, I felt this challenge intensely, and in every single man who I share space with, who I have the honor and the privilege of holding space for, individually or collectively in a men's circle. And when there's no exception to this, I have found no exception. And the challenge is this: self-love. The simple, or what should be simple, natural capacity to love and accept oneself for how you are. This is like the great crisis on the planet at the moment. I've spoken very often to the profoundly sick society that we live in. I robbed that term from a famous quote of Jiddu Krishnamurti. There's no sign of health to be, what's the term? There's no sign of good health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And there's a lot of talk about crisis in this profoundly sick society, and there's a bombardment of, there's this crisis, there's that crisis, there's like, there's breakdown seemingly everywhere, between unnecessary wars to climate to, there's a bombardment of shit. Honestly, I believe the entire thing could be solved if en masse we learned how to love ourselves and accept ourselves and relax into our nervous systems and go, I'm fucking awesome, I'm beautiful, I love myself, I feel good within myself. Because from there, the only natural impulse that comes through your nervous system, your mind, your heart, is to love, is to be of service, is to be at one, to be at peace. And yet, it's not the case. So, this episode truly, in many senses, could be the most triggering episode of all that you listen to. Some of you might just switch off already. You know, it's like, oh, fucking self-love, I'm here to sort my marriage, you know, give me strategies. I speak to this type of mentality, and I get it. I get it. Myself, when I look back at my marriage transformation, and as always, hold my hand up, that marriage transformation is always on the go. As I continually lean in to learn how to ferociously love and accept myself on deeper and deeper levels, there's new parts coming up. But when I look back and I lean into, you know, all those energetic memory boxes of those times when, you know, I've said it before, it's like, I open-heartedly, we have a lot of humor in this, but it really serves, you know, when old memories come up, I refer to my queens. Oh, your first husband. She hasn't been married before. It's always me. Your first, your second, your third. I think I'm like, I don't know, am I like the sixth husband of hers? She's becoming like Elizabeth Taylor at this point with the way I converse about it. But when I look back and go, yeah, that man was fucking hurting. Now, I still experience hurt, but I'm aware of it. Yet when I look back, it's like the man back then, I was hurting, but it's not that I didn't know it, but I didn't know how to hold space for it inside myself. I didn't know I had such a major issue with loving myself and accepting myself. And when that discomfort and that profound inner shame, that deep felt sense of not enoughness, that I wasn't enough, and touch base with yourself, lean into this conversation. Is there some part of you that you know, when, especially when I slow it down like this, that the major crux for you in your marriage is you get triggered most often when you perceive, and I'm really clear with my language, when you perceive, it's not a fact, but you perceive, you interpret your queen's feedback is stinging criticism. That at the base of it all, the most triggering part of her communications with you is that you're like, my best is never good enough. Which underneath that is like, I'm never good enough. I'm not good enough. You know, I love this woman so much. I really do. And many of you will have kids and a whole life built together. It's like, I want to love her so much. I want my love that is there underneath it all. I want it to come out, and I want my love to be enough. I want my expression of my love to be enough. I want so deeply that, you know, all the boxes I tick, the parenting I do, my best in love life, my best in communication, I want her to feel I'm at my 10 out of 10 best, and it fucking hurts to perceive that she's a river of criticism and I'm never good enough. Does that strike home to being a part of your lived experience as a husband, as a man in your marriage? I'm pausing because it's the invitation to get fucking real with yourself. Some guys can go, no, it's not fine. Hey, man, you, like, you know, I'm fine. I love myself. She's fucking wounded. I did that too. And I have met guys that it's like, you know, I don't have an issue. My issue is, like, she had X, Y, and Z happen to her. Deep life traumas. Like, you know, I'm fine. She's the one that's jealous, or I'm fine, she's the one that had, you know, divorced parents and it was a mess everywhere. I'm fine, but like her parents, you know, she learned all this shit. You know, her parents had problems with drugs or alcohol. You know, I'm the good guy, she's the bad one. And lo and behold, you know, we're having this issue. And look at me, I'm here trying to salvage it as always. I am the white, perfect, shining light of love. But I'm just misunderstood completely by her. It's her issues with not receiving my perfect, impeccable love. I would challenge that always, and I don't have you in front of me, but I challenge it as total fucking avoidant bullshit of your persona. It was total avoidant bullshit of my persona for 12 years of marriage, and hey, you know, I just have converse in a deep way with so many guys at this point that when in lovingly direct ways, masculine, we grow by direct challenge. When I challenge guys on their bullshit on this, tons of guys like me, and it's like the whole reason why we blame our queens is it's fucking sore. It's sore. It's suffocatingly painful and hurtful to feel and to perceive that we are not enough as men. And that's the issue, there is not loving ourselves. It has nothing to do with your queen. In actual fact, it's like we end up drawing out from the universe, if you want to go on. But I do believe on the ultimate level, we're drawing out from our human experience the standard that we believe we deserve. And guys will get so pissed with this. It's like, but, you know, she does this and does that, and I know I don't, I deserve better. Where the self-love comes in, guys, is I have noted within myself. I was feeling I was a victim of, like, actually, if I go back, it's like, there could be all sorts of terms on it that I could put on it. Like, narcissistic abuse, and I have listened to different YouTube videos on it, books, etc., etc. I'm like, oh man, she ticked all the boxes of narcissism because her mother was a narcissist, like my queen, her podcast is Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. And it's like, oh, she had the same traits. She was bringing the truth. That was her shadow side. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, I was the victim of all of this. She was doing all this shit. And like, poor me. But if you are receiving certain types of behaviors that are just totally unacceptable to you, when you love yourself, I have learned that when my nervous system, this is a slow but sure shift within myself, as from coming to men's work and actually guys getting fucking real with me and me being called my bullshit, sort of rationalizing and speaking, and it's like, you know, trying to talk my way around a deep grief of loss in my past, trying to talk myself and rationalize and say I'm like constantly going with this, I've got my shit put together, you know. And it's in men's work, there's this core sort of way of speaking to it. It's like your ideal state of being as a man is strong spine, soft front. You know, and it's the complete opposite to what we try to do, which is like, it's a hard front. I've got my shit together. You know, I'm a confident guy. I'm tough. I'm unstoppable. And that hard front hides a soft center, an exquisitely soft center. It's like this sore point where your persona is working 24/7 to never let anybody pierce there, because that's a point where your deepest fear is if somebody gets there, you're dead. Like, they can destroy you. And I get the human experience of that, and hence we end up so embattled with our queens. The majority of guys that come to me when they do the blame, shame and claim thinking ratio, the story part of presence, I get guys really present with, okay, well, when you're in heart closure, when you're in conflict with your queen, what's the percentage of thoughts in your mind, whether you're speaking them or not, in your mind, what are the percentage of thoughts? Blame thoughts, aka thoughts that are against your queen. Most guys will say that they have quite a higher percentage of blame thoughts than a smaller proportion of shame thoughts against themselves. I'm such a piece of shit. I've screwed up again. And then very few claim thoughts. Other guys will have it the other way. And there's no better or worse. It's just creative ways that our inner child found of navigating our environments growing up. Shame thoughts are against oneself, but they're both avoidance thoughts, really. It's not that blame thoughts are, you know, we might think it's like, we focus on the supposed inadequacies and the screw-ups of our beloved, of our queen, because it takes the sting of feeling how inadequate we feel underneath it all, that my love is not enough for her, or we perceive it's not enough for her. Now, it's just how you come at this. But what's really, really making your queen feel so unsafe around you, this is like at the base of all marriage conflict for queens. I'll remind you guys again and again and again that the core feminine needs, and we have feminine needs as well, which gets sort of mixed up, but the core feminine needs in our queens, they're predominantly more feminine in their core. They have their masculine part, but they're predominantly more feminine the vast majority of the times. They have a core, their core needs are to feel seen, heard, and above all, safe in your presence. And what triggers them and drives them in this underlying principle is, like, we're constantly, as men and women the same, but, like, I'm talking with you, and extreme ownership is your, I would argue, only fucking way out of whatever struggle you're experiencing in marriage, is we're constantly transmitting a message that's evoking a response. So if you're transmitting a message that's not so safe, that's a blamey or shaming yourself, and it's not taking extreme ownership, it's not safe to be around. And if you're, you know, if she says whatever and you take it as, you know, stinging criticism, when in actual fact she's like, hey, I just fucking asked you to do something I asked you to do like half an hour ago, and I'm asking you the second time, I'm a bit pissed because I have a lot of shit to do. And you just take it immediately as stinging criticism. Your whole being communicates that you're pissed off, like it's you're just upset, and you do it resentfully. That's deeply unsafe for her. And that's what's driving women insane around the planet. Fucking insane. That's what drives them to soothe their lack of their feminine being seen and heard and safe. That's what drives them to soothing their feminine needs for fullness, for complete love, complete union. They'll find a way. And that way will be irritating to you because they'll stop paying attention to you and they'll be scrolling on social media 24/7, looking for gossip, looking for anything that will fill that bottomless pit up that is not being filled by you. The vast majority, I say, it's not being filled by you because you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if she was feeling full. If her feminine was feeling truly, you know, in a wholesome, integrated, yeah, fucking, I feel so filled up with his love and his acknowledgement, and I feel seen and heard by him and radically safe. I mean, he's not perfect, but he's so consistently safe and present that, hey, when he makes the mistakes and he has the odds, like there's a build up of trust over time. I'll still give him like that fucking full on feminine feedback, but I'm like, by and large, I feel safe with this man. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You fucking wouldn't. Don't kid yourself. The root of all of this reactivity that en masse we have individually and collectively as men comes from our, I would say, largely unspoken issue of feeling unable to love ourselves and to accept ourselves. You know, it's like, if you don't think you have an issue with it, well, you know, go to the next barbecue that your mates invite you over to. Go to the next time that you're, you know, changing at the gym and you have your mates around you or whatever, like the colleagues at work. And if you truly don't think you have an issue with love, tell them, you know, just bring the topic up. It's like, guys, you know, if you don't have issues, like, speak. It's like, oh, just say some self-loving, self-acknowledging things and see how grounded you can be. And if you think, oh, well, you know, I sort of know a bit of issues about it, but, like, I don't have an issue speaking to it, speak to your buddies about it. See how grounded you are. See how grounded you are when potentially they get awkward around that topic. It's like, oh, self-love, man, oh, Jesus. And like, and to go quiet or to sort of make a laugh of it. By and large, like, if you're still listening in, and like in this podcast, part of deep men's work, when it's done fucking well, it's no fucking bullshit. Like, there's a part of me going, hey, if you're still wanting to self-delude yourself that you don't have an issue with self-love, like, just find a different fucking podcast. And I say that semi-regular, and it's not to be nasty, but get fucking real. Because when you slow down and start building up your muscle. Think of it like going to the gym. It's like working a muscle. We sort of all know, you know, even if you're not so physically fit, we know that, hey, if I go walking a bit more and walk, and you might get into a bit of jogging, and if you just do it and stick with it, you work the muscles, you work the physiology, you'll get fitter. You'll be running, you know, if you just are consistent. If you work your muscle in the gym, work the biceps, the curls, the whatever. I don't do gym work, so I don't have the super cool lingo for it. Whatever, you work biceps, you're pumping iron, yeah, go Arnie. You've got the Arnold Schwarzenegger old poster up in the wall going, I'm fucking him, like, you know, whatever. If you work it, the muscle will get stronger. The nervous system is the exact same thing. So, a lot of guys underneath, you know, the majority experience a lot of blame against your queens. And some of you, hey, listening, I acknowledge you too. You'd be like, no, man, there's not so much blame. It's like just my nervous system is trigger happy to beat the shit out of myself. Well, for the guys that are more predominantly recognized, yeah, man, I fucking blame Horace. Like it's on her, and she's always at on my case, but she isn't doing this, that, the other, and it's all in her wounds. And, you know, she gives me shit, but X, Y, and Z is what she's not doing. Underneath the blame is shame. It's a tender spot of like a deep struggle to love yourself. It's to build that muscle, you know. Neurophysiology, like the great miss of education, and I fucking go to town on the lack of true education on this planet. And we unschool our girls. I would not put them into the schooling system in Ireland or pretty much any Western culture. And this is no judgment of you if your lifestyle, if your needs as a family man, like, sort of it necessitates. And hey, if your values are, hey, you know, good school, you know, going to school is a good thing. Cool. At the base of education is the root word of the modern word education is educare. And when you go back far enough, that means to draw out that which lies within you. It's a profoundly self-loving thing to have an education where it's you that is the topic. You're the subject. Educare, to draw out that which lies within you. So the root of the word education is profoundly self-loving. It's self-validating. It's all about your authentic expression. It's your unique genius to draw out that which lies within you. Yet in this profoundly sick society, it's been like, sit down, shut up, do that repeatedly on a recurring basis for like 8 to 9 months per year. They crank that up as you go into college, etc., etc. But, you know, do that for 15 to 20 years, education, school, college, university. You know, where you sit down, shut up, do as you're told, and it doesn't matter how you emotionally engage with the subject or subjects. It's like just keep fucking plastering it into your brain to the point at which you can, like, verbally or in written terms, vomit it back out in exams, which if you get it wrong, we penalize you. So it's again being penalized for getting it wrong. It's not a loving, nurturing environment. And yeah, it's like, it doesn't matter your passion. It doesn't matter what lights you on fire. It doesn't matter, like, what, you know? And how many schooling situations, like, can you put your hand up and go, excuse me, sir, excuse me, miss, like, I just don't feel like a natural enthusiasm when I'm doing history. Like, there's like, honestly, I don't give a fuck about it. It's like, it's boring as fuck for me. It's like, cool. Like, it knocks it. I love the fact I witness in you, you know, you're like full of enthusiasm, which actually 90% of teachers aren't. But it's like, you know, it knocks it out of the park for me that you love it. And like the rest of the gang here love it. 99% of them don't. Like, I love that your enthusiasm, it lights you up, but it doesn't do it for me. So I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to read like fucking my Spanish books or my French, or I just love maths and hate history. Just Bah. No, you can't do that. You get penalized. You get penalized for loving you. Yeah, you get penalized for tending to what your needs are, what your desires are, what your wants are, what your heart tells you is like true for you. So we go through 20 or 30 years of this, and on top of that, hey, we get our parents. Maybe some of you had like deeply abusive parents and had a really explicitly traumatizing, where it's like in your face traumatizing, inarguably traumatizing events where, hey, there was physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, sexual abuse, and hey, I bow, I honor that. I empathize completely. Zero sympathy, I will say that. Zero sympathy, because it's like you've got to, your spiritual path, you've absolutely have to find some way, no matter how painful it is, to make sure you do whatever is necessary to reach a point where your worst moments in your childhood, your worst moments in your life, you catalyze those into being what made you as a man, what made you as a human being. It's like, because of that pain, you've had the felt necessity to do whatever is necessary by spiritual practice, enter deep men's work, whatever, to catalyze it into, I'm a fucking monstrous mountain of presence now. You know, if I could get through that hell and still be still and still, you know, this, I am the man I am as a result of that. That definitely has been my process, and it's like, it's that's the hero's journey, that's the spiritual journey. And this hero's journey, spiritual journey, is about self-love. Getting to the point where you can just sit and be with yourself. And that lack of capacity of sitting and being with ourselves is what is screwing up our marriages. Because have you noticed that emotionally and psychologically, you can be in conflict with your queen when, hey, just a mundane thing she says to, like, whatever comment, whatever thing she does or doesn't do, and it's like you get pissed and you take it and you get all reactive and you can't sit with it. And because you can't sit with it, then, you know, you might be trying to do the nice guy. Oh, but, you know, I'm thinking all these horrible thoughts on the inside, but I'm not speaking them. But your whole fucking body and nervous system is communicating that you're pissed off, that you're upset, that, like, you're taking this personal. And she's feeling, clearly, within a nanosecond, the fuck you that's been printed on your forehead. You know, that you're there like, oh, but, you know, I'm fine. You know, all those moments that, hey, honey, when your queen asks you, is like, are you okay, honey? Everything fine? It's like, yeah, I'm fine. It's like, she's not fucking asking you. She knows you're on fucking fire on the inside. She knows you're boiling up. She knows you're gone into a pit of blackness, of a hole of despair, or you're stonewalling, or she knows you're fucking, you're not right. It's self-love. Because only when you can slowly but surely soften in, you know, strong spine. None of this self-love, guys, like, to really go to the shaming of what society has bastardized us with men, is this message that it's like, it's the weak man, it's the pussy that fucking, it's the soft guy. You know, it's like, harden up, man. You know, it's like the hard guy. The John fucking McClane, you know, die hard. You know, they're the fucking warriors, you know, like, fucking shoots 17 people dead, cigarette in a man, you know, greasy fucking vest on, and, like, he gets the gal at the end. It's like, what a hero, man. You know, it's like, there's so many depictions of masculinity that are, like, just, they'd be comical in the extreme bullshit nature of them if it wasn't so fucking tragic that we have actually learned that that's what we're supposed to do. Subconsciously, we've been conditioned. It's like, hard man, you're like a fucking strong man. Strong man doesn't cry. Strong man doesn't feel. Self-love, fuck this. You know, if you went with the conditioning of society, you'd have fucking clicked out of this episode like 2 minutes in. Self-love. Ah! Never to that podcast again. Now, the fortunate thing is you're all badass spiritual mavericks who are learning that it's actually pretty fucking important to soften into this. Strong spine. You can have tears rolling down your cheeks during this call. You can have a lot of emotion triggered during this call. I will say that. When you get fucking real within your nervous system and you truly soften in and feel it, like, hey, a lot of stuff can come up, a lot of anxiety, a lot of triggered emotionality, trauma release. Want to let you know, like, that's okay. That's a good sign. That's your nervous system moving. That's your nervous system sort of going, oh, okay, we're going to just, we need to start reorienting ourselves to a new story. But when, what my invitation to you in this is, and my absolute assumption that if you're still listening in, you're softening in, you're surrendering to, yeah, you know, self-love, it's quite the issue for me. You know, there's a lot of blame, there's a lot of shame thoughts there. Every guy that I speak with has a ton of inner critic issues. Ton. Every guy. Anytime I speak to it in men's circles, it's like, you know, it comes up with one guy and then it's like, I'll just refer it to the room. It's like, many guys resonate with that. Like, hands have already went up. They're like, oh my God, yeah, fucking my that part of me that beats the shit out of myself. I'm never good enough. I'm always putting myself under pressure. And we try to outperform the intensity of it. Work, work, work. Perform, perform, perform. Get profits. Be profitable. Be productive. We try to do it at work. And, you know, people at work, you get good feedback. Because, hey, man, if you just work, 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 fuck. You know, your head dude in the office, he never stops, that man. Great worker. Very productive. Great profits. Valuable. Did you know he's suicidal? No, we don't talk about shit like that here. So long as he's producing. Ha ha ha. Cog in the fucking machine. The vast majority of men walking around feeling fucking dead on the inside. But this society says, like, so long as you're showing up and you're producing, so long as you're profitable for whatever organism this is, business, corporate, whatever. As long as you're getting the job done, man, taking the boxes. Dying on the fucking inside. Enough. Because that dying on the inside, until you can actually soften into that, you're going to constantly be reactive with your queen, and your marriage will fucking probably end or just be unhappily ever after, which is a massive tragedy. The first part of this, and I ask you to lean in, you know, experientially, whatever, by whatever way is appropriate within your environment with what you're doing. But to join me momentarily in this journey, because there's two sides of self-love. The side that one guy said to me before is like, Mark, when you're talking about self-love and acceptance, I was like, I just get so fucking pissed. It sounds so airy-fairy. And I clarified. He said to me, it's like, oh, just, you know, I've went to a lot of workshops, and he's like, my inner critic fucking takes me down. It's like, I experience deep suicidal episodes, you know, quite frequently. He's like, spiritual badass. He was able to hold space for them and not actually, clearly, he was talking with me, but act out in them. But like, he's like, when I hear you talking about, you know, self-love and acceptance, it's like, it triggers me. It's like, it's not all rainbows and unicorns, you know, in my life. And I clarified, it's like, man, what you hear me saying is ferocious self-love and acceptance. He's like, yeah. It's like, well, ferocity is there for a reason. It has to be fucking ferocious. Because there is a part. That part is there. I call it a voice of shame. You can shadow. You can call it inner critic. Whatever. But the ferocious nature of self-love and acceptance that I'm speaking with, it's like spiritual heart warriorship. You've got to practice finding a level of pathways, setting, like I call them, there's protective pathways and presence pathways. Protective pathways, you learned in childhood, is like part of you is the persona part that form protective pathways of thinking, like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit. Hey, there's a great creativity in that. And if you resonate with that part, that there's this inner critic that puts you down, the super creative nature of your 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old self that started doing that, ultimately inflicting that those type of thoughts, those thinking patterns on yourself, it was beautiful because if people in your environment were putting you down, wittingly or unwittingly, like explicitly abusive, or hey, they meant well, but they were just really busy and overwhelmed and stressed, loving parents, but, you know, I sort of got the brunt of like their overwhelm. Every person has experienced some way, shape or form of this. The reason we would put down ourselves is it brings a sense of control. We need certainty. And if you put yourself down first, it's like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit, or oh, I'm always wrong, oh, I'm bold, oh, I'm the odd one out in this family, and you create a story around it, it's like you prevent yourself from feeling the fullness of fully fledged happiness and joy and bliss, and you prevent yourself the severity of the emotional withdrawal that comes that your mom, dad, stepdad, whoever the hell is like the important people in your life, when they come in and they're all of a sudden grumpy or just spontaneously just like, oh, that's bullshit, or oh, for fuck's sake, Mickey, why have you made a shitty mess again? It's easier for you. If you're beating the shit out of yourself by default, that's a sense of control. It's like, they can't hurt me if I hurt myself. It brings a sanity to the insanity that you're experiencing around you. It's not safe in your environment, so I'll just create this story that puts myself down, so there's a protection in it. They can't devastate me. Now, there's the price to pay, because you can't ever feel the fullness of happiness, the fullness of your authentic expression, the joy, the bliss, the ecstasy. There's a major price to pay. Most guys come into marriage, come into adulthood like that. They don't know how to experience bliss and joy and happiness and all the good shit. And they sort of get to feel bits of that in the beginning and think, oh, that's, oh, I fall in love because I feel light and fluffy and fucking loved and energized around her. But it doesn't last long, because the old protective pathways come back to haunt you and your marriage. Now, an important part of ferociously self-loving and accepting yourself, guys, for all of you, is, I would say, to start loving that part of yourself. Not to try and fix that part, not to try and go like a fuck you. I've heard lots of, read lots and heard lots of teachers, you know, it's like the ego, can be another word for it. The ego is like this constant malevolent force inside of you that, like, the whole spiritual practice is to meditate and do teachings to the point at which it doesn't exist anymore. I'm like, well, it got you through life until today. It, that part of your being served you exceptionally well. Exceptionally well. Because it brought certainty, it brought protection, it brought, you know, might have been a numbness or a sedating effect to the intensity of feeling so much pain when your mom and dad and people around you that, like, you felt entitled naturally that they would support you, that they would nurture you, that they would nourish your entire being. And hey, Indigenous tribes, that's everything in Indigenous tribes, was all about the highest levels of, like, love. People in Indigenous tribes weren't overwhelmed. They were supported by all aspects of society. So parents were fully, completely having their needs met, so they could be there as loving parents. And they had the support of an entire tribe to do the parenting as well. So, I mean, again, it's all that we have experienced is the profound, like, it's the side effect, it's the symptom of a bullshit society. So it's like, your parents, they could have been downright fucking assholes, but whatever, like, they were just symptoms of a profoundly sick society where none of their childhood needs were met. They didn't have the fullest support as parents. It's fucking an impossible game. But that part of you that learned to beat the shit out of yourself, I'd say you have to start with that. If you see that as a great failure of yourself as a human being, you're always going to hate that part, and you're going to be 30 years later still fucking hiding away from that part. Spiritual liberation, and in marriage, you know, it's like I say, it's like there's two ways to get away from the intensity of a storm. And the storm is the feminine of life, the feminine inside of yourself, and hey, the feminine in your queen. You'll know in marriage, what do? Most guys, staying in marriage, but just about. Oh, you're committed, and you tick all the practical boxes, but the emotional shit, the real deep intimate stuff, it's like you dip your toe in, and dipping your toe in means you sort of step towards the storm a little bit, but it gets hotter, so we back off, but we don't back off completely. Some guys will have backed off and got divorced and remarried. And I honor your process. There's no need for any regret in this. It's like your wake-up time is now. That's cool. But with great power comes great responsibility. So like there's two ways of getting relief is you walk away from the storm to the point at which, you know, you're away from any of the winds of that storm. That's getting out of marriage. Most guys are sort of in enough to have some experience of intimacy, to have some experience of having a woman there beside you. It's like if you live under the same roof, I mean, you're going to have some experience, whether you like it or not. It's going to be intense and there's going to be hopefully some days are good. But hey, you're listening in here. So there's probably predominantly there's more of a struggle feel. But leaning in, going towards the storm, is frightening because it gets more and more intense. Which, if you're struggling, if your nervous system struggles with self-love, the further in you go, the more your queen's spiky parts come out and all resentments come out and feedback and, you know, horror criticism by your perception, it's feminine feedback, but you take it as stinging attack. It's really fucking hard to get to the center of the storm. But that's where the spiritual bliss comes. That's where she... You know, when guys in Heroic Husbands men's circles do this in one-on-one coaching and they learn how to love themselves and accept themselves to the point to which, yeah, the inner demon shit comes up, but they don't take it personal. It's a part of them to park it on the shelf and they sit there completely with their queen, completely present, breathing deep, owning your own shit, not speaking any of the blame thoughts and the whole space. She feels seen, heard and safe regularly, guys. Regularly, it's so regular that it's like it's a standard part. I hear reports of, oh guys, she just like spontaneously burst into tears. She sobbed on my shoulder for like 10-20 minutes and we just fucking made love like we'd never done in years. It was like amazing. Because why? She felt seen, heard and most important, underline it, safe. It's the practice. How you spiritual liberation, healing, you know, whatever you want to call that, the hero's journey, you've got to face the center of the storm and march towards it. Sit with the storm. Jesus in the desert. You know, he wasn't busy, you know, helping Joseph out, you know, apprentice. Let's get out, dad. Come on, let's fucking, you know, we can make a good buck here. Let's get productive. Let's build the profits. No, it was like, you know, cool, doing the carpentry thing, but I'm heading to the desert to sit with the intensity of what's coming through my nervous system, what's coming through whatever spiritual forces, and it's like sit with the devil to the point at which he was at one with it. Buddha, the exact same. You move towards the storm. You've got to orient towards it. So your voice of shame, why that controls you so much is your avoidance of it. I was scared shitless of it. It was like, oh, beating the shit out of me, and I'd just get busy and I'd harden up and I'd drink alcohol and I was going to porn and I was like doing all of these things that when that came up, it was like just sedated, numb it, because I was avoiding it so completely. In arguments, I tried to numb it by blaming my queen. Major blame story. Resentment. She was the reason for all my unhappiness. Like, fucking horrifying what I was projecting on her. But feel into that. Do you have like a story of resentment that like your queen somehow has become the greatest source of your pain, of she's the greatest problem? It's like, I love you, but you're never this and you're never that. She never feels enough around you. It's a major story. And it's not fucking good enough to go, yeah, well, I feel the same too. It's like, cool, boy bitch energy. She upsets me, I upset her, you know, like whatever. Like, how's that working out for you? Doesn't fucking work out. You gotta step into your power. Stepping into your power, guys, is orienting yourself towards your voice of shame and acknowledging it and being with it and ultimately coming to love it. So lean in here, and I'm gonna put a prompt. I do this in working with guys one-on-one, and I'm gonna go experiential with you. It won't be perfect. You won't have like 5 minutes of time, but lean in. The prompt is, my voice of shame tries to tell me, and it's key here, it tries to tell me. Your voice of shame, my voice of shame, individually and collectively, the voice of shame, it's like, fundamentally, it's just like a simple habitual burp of your nervous system. It's a pattern. There's no reality with it. It just tends to pop up. It's like, because it's been 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you know, those pathways, protective pathways, I just beat the shit out of myself. It protects me. I don't want to feel the horrific. I don't want any other fucker in the planet to have the power over me to be able to drop my bliss and devastate me. You know, I'll do it to myself. It's a protective pattern, but it's just a habitual burp of your nervous system that just doesn't know how to stop. How you stop it is you face it. So it's trying to tell you. But if you can face it and just go, well, I'm not scared of it. I'm just going to fucking be with it. It's not going to be so convincing to your nervous system anymore. If you don't avoid it and you face it, it dissipates the energy. So my voice of shame tries to tell me, fill in that gap intuitively now. Lean into this conversation. You're not getting away with this one. You don't get to fucking zone out. What does your voice of shame try to tell you in moments when, hey, there's a shit show in your marriage? Your wife is all pissed. You're feeling upset. In those moments, what does your voice of shame try to tell you about yourself? That, not the blame part. It avoids going to blame. I'm talking about shame when it turns on you. And it mightn't be in the conflict, albeit some of you will say, yeah, it's beating the shit out of me. I'm like, I'm such an asshole, whatever. It might be afterwards when you're feeling remorse the next day. It's like, you, I told her my full truth. I told her what I thought about her. Blame. A lot of guys, I hear that, and I've done the same. It's like, I fucking finally told her what I thought about her. I just blamed her for all my existential shit. It's like, fuck. There's no honor in that. Not helpful. Deeply corrosive to trust and safety. I don't even have to ask you how that's working out for you. It doesn't. So what does your voice of shame try to tell you in moments of conflict or after when you're feeling remorse because you've bombed a heap of shit horror away? My voice of shame tries to tell me. What comments come up in your mind? What's the story that your nervous system produces about yourself? So I'm assuming that you're leaning into this and that some parts come. I'd hear tons of, like, I'm such a piece of shit. I'm so fucking useless. My voice of shame tries to tell me, just end it. You're of no use to life. Suicidal type thoughts. My voice of shame tries to tell me, I'm a limp dick lover. That's a classic in my own mind. You know, put downs about your sexual performance. My voice of shame tries to tell me, you're just no good. You're emotionally dead. You're broken. My voice of shame tries to tell me, like, you're an asshole. You're a piece of shit. You're a piece of dirt. Like, put in all the insults. My voice of shame tries to tell me that she's too good for you. You're not good enough for her. Just let her go. My voice of shame tries to tell me. Every single man, if you're really leaning into this, you will be cognizant of some part of you that tries to put you down. My thing here is like to go, my voice of shame tries to tell me I'm such a piece of shit. And I love and accept that. I ferociously love and accept that part of myself. It's turning it on its head. I will ferociously love and accept every single fucking part of me. Because that's ferocious self-love and acceptance. That's the key part to healing. And when you start doing this, guys, this might seem, I don't know, maybe you've all clicked off. Maybe you're all fucked off. Maybe this is just like the worst episode ever. I would say it's the most important episode ever. But when you start orienting yourself towards your shadowy, nasty, gnarly inner critic bits, and you can go, hey, my voice of shame tries to tell me I'm a piece of shit, take your life, you're fucking worthless, and I ferociously love and accept that part of me. And you follow it up with ferocious love and acceptance. With practice. First episode, man, you could cry, you could dissociate, you could start shaking all over. This can be really, really challenging. But if you work with it, you work with it. Tenacity. Penetrating sexual energy. Like, you're going to fucking penetrate through your all your inner demons. You're going to grab fucking hold of your nervous system and live a good life. You're going to turn this around. You see the cause and effect thing. It's like when you're transmitting a message as evoking response. Well, if your message on the inside is beating the shit out of yourself, you're going to be tense, you're going to be hard, you're going to be critical of her, you're going to be blaming her. It's like, and it's evoking response of, hey, deep struggle in marriage. Now, divorce is one way of seeking relief from it. And hey, if you want to go divorce, dude, I'm not going to judge you. I couldn't give a fuck. Ultimately, that's your life. Live it. But there are consequences. You know, first marriage, 50% split. Second marriage is 65%. Third marriage is 85%. Fourth, fifth, God, oh my fucking God. At that point, it's just like, why bother? Not a good idea in my world to set a precedent of going, you know, fuck her, let's go with blame. You're setting a precedent that your way of escaping to relief is by blaming, is by separating. It's time to show the fuck up. And you start that within yourself. Start today and regularly. I'd set the challenge for the next 7 days. You know, find a few moments per day. You might journal it. It's like, hey, my voice of shame tries to tell me, fill in the gap, and I ferociously love and accept that part of me. Because it was there. It had a sacred reason in the beginning why I started that habit off. So just orient to it. Love it. And in loving it and becoming fearless around you, it's only by avoiding it that that gnarly, shitty feeling takes us over. But when you orient towards it, you're like, oh, this meditation, it's the process of coming to know my mind. Oh God, it's funny. My mind does this when I feel heart closure, when I feel upset, when I'm in emotional conflict. Oh, it's funny. My mind just does this. And you become objective. You become like it's black box thinking. It's the masculine practice is embodied consciousness. And embodied consciousness is being like the witnessing awareness to whatever shows up in your mind, ultimately. And not being stirred either way. It's like, oh, I just have all these loving thoughts about myself and my life, or I have all these suicidal thoughts about myself and the blackness of and the hopelessness of life. So whatever, in that moment, it's like, oh, isn't it interesting that my mind, the habits of my mind would vomit this out in this moment? You're not your thoughts, your consciousness. This is the practice. When you start doing that, guys, and very few guys can do it, but in a surprisingly short period of time, guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, because we're talking about it, we're doing processes, guys get grilled, you're getting challenged, you've got your accountability partners, and they're having conversations with powerful men around the world all the time, it becomes part of your nervous system. You just fucking go there, and you learn, hey, I just love and accept all parts of what comes through my nervous system. If it's coming true, it had a purpose. It still has a purpose, and maybe it's just time to move on. When you get like that with yourself, this miracle happens. When you start allowing your nervous system have its human experience of, oh, I can hold space and witness and hear and see what's happening inside of myself, and I can feel all expressions come through me in a safe manner. When you start holding space for yourself, your own irrationality, your own feminine, you might already be getting there. You'll naturally be trained and prepared to hold space for whatever the inner human experience in the moment your queen is having. You'll be fine. But you got to practice within yourself first, loving and accepting the dark shit that comes through, the nasty, gnarly shit, the tightness, the hardness, the protective pathways. That's why it's so hard in marriage, because you're not able yet to hold space for your own stuff and love and accept whatever comes through you. The other part of it is, yeah, it's loving the voice of shame. An even more challenging part is the second part. And I do challenge you to go at both of these for 7 days. Write it down. My voice of shame tries to tell me, ... fill in the gap, and I ferociously love and accept that part. The other prompt is, I'm beautiful and lovable because. Why? Now, trauma-informed, deeply spiritual people that have had a lot of teachings, you know, that, you know, be like, yes, well, I'm beautiful and lovable, Mark, because I don't need any reason. There's no reason needed. I just am. I fucking get it. Absolute level, I get it. But if you don't have a good form and basis, don't go to some spiritually high fucking thought that is not actually lived out in your nervous system, because your queen will fucking know. You're not so fucking high in your love. So, guys, I'm just saying, don't go with some high spiritual bullshit, absolute reality thing and think you're spiritual because you're thinking that if your marriage is a shit show. Get down and get reasons. Because when you get, I'm beautiful and lovable because, hey, I show up with my 10 out of 10 best intentionality in marriage. I'm beautiful and lovable because, hey, I stay in shape. I'm actually proud of myself. You know, I'm 40 or 50 years old and I'm in shape. I'm beautiful and lovable because I'm a funny bastard. I bring humor to life. I make people smile. I'm beautiful and lovable because this can be really triggering. Because as a man to go, I'm beautiful. What? You don't fucking do that, macho, gruff, hard man. You don't say about beautiful. That's girly. That's, ooh, it's fucking essential. If you don't feel the permission to go, I'm beautiful, how can you be attractive? 99.99999% of men, all men, and the only exceptions, there could be 1 or 2%, but they've done deep work. Deep, deep work. Struggle with receiving love from their queen. Struggle with receiving the compliments, the acknowledgements. When they do say fucking nice stuff, and when they do give you a glance, and they do sort of do an acknowledgement to touch you, your nervous system doesn't pick up on it. Hence, she stops. And it's base layer beliefs that you're not worthy of love. You're not. You don't feel beautiful. Again, it's the voice of shame, sort of. It's that deep, deep down. So, I'm beautiful and lovable because, fill in the gap. Do 10 days, 7 days, 10 days. Fuck it, do a year of it. I'm beautiful and lovable because. And here, when you're listening in, soften into it. Strong spine. Takes a strong fucking man to do this. No fucking pussy can do shit like this. Takes a strong, powerful man, a spiritual warrior to go, hey, I'm going to lean in. I'm beautiful and lovable because. If it's in your environment, if nobody's around you, if you're listening like in a space, in a car, on the way to work or around a home, nobody's there, speak it. Speak it. Shout it. If you can shout it, man, don't come back to me with fucking legal claims because you shouted it and you're, I use the example, you're an air traffic controller. You know, you shouldn't be listening in if you're an air traffic controller, but it's like, whatever. Like, if it's appropriate within your environment and it's not going to upset anybody, it's like, speak this out. Shout it out. Declare it. I'm beautiful and lovable because I'm fucking awesome. It can just go generic. I'm beautiful and lovable because I smile and I light up the room. I'm beautiful and lovable because I serve people. I really love serving my community and serving my family. I'm beautiful and lovable because I play with the girls. I play with my kids and I create lots of fun experiences for them. I'm beautiful and lovable because, man, I'm attractive. I keep myself in shape and I keep, you know, a tight appearance. I dress well. I'm beautiful and lovable because I'm a loving man. I love my queen. I'm beautiful and lovable because. I'm beautiful and lovable because. I'm beautiful and lovable because. Guys, those heart warriors of you that have listened in to the completion, to the totality of this episode, this is at the epicenter of it. All the on the gram, on social media, on 90, I don't listen to many. I've listened for couple of minutes and I've heard so much feedback from an astounding amount of guys at this point, and it keeps coming in comments like, man, I was trying to listen to other podcasts and then I came to yours and it's just so fucking real, I've stopped listening to the others. I'm not saying that has to be a thing, but like, so many guys have said that because it's fucking real. It's no bullshit. But the no bullshit part of me is saying, like, guys, you absolutely must, for yourself as a man, outside of your marriage, like becoming a marriage transformation hero, you'll know in heroic husbands, men's circles, it's like, guys, within a couple of weeks, like, have you noticed? It's not about your marriage. It's not about your queen. It's about you fucking taking the path of self-mastery in your nervous system. And from there, you'll find your marriage just self-corrects naturally. It's loving and accepting whatever's happening in your nervous system. I'm beautiful and lovable because. Counterbalance, because you're playing with both sides, shadow and the light. The shadow, my voice of shame, tries to tell me, dot, 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 fill it in, and I ferociously love and accept that part of myself. Start building that muscle of ferocious self-love and acceptance, and from there, it will soothe your nervous system. And from there, you'd be like, you know what? She doesn't really criticize me, and she's giving me feedback. She's pissed. I'm pissed. She's pissed. Of course she's pissed. We're not feeling connected. This is nothing personal. This is the woman I love finding whatever ways to communicate to me she's unhappy. Fuck, I'm going to meet her there because I love her. You're going to stop taking her message to you personal because you're loving and accepting everything in you, and you're in ferociously loving and accepting your human experience and everything that comes through your mind. You're like, I'm a fucking human and I'm going to love and accept whatever comes up. If it's coming up, there's a purpose that it's coming up. And you'll stop dumping your shit and whore, but because you're running away from your own pain, you're now loving and accepting your own pain. You're loving and accepting your nervous system's creative responses to try and avoid that pain when you were younger because you didn't know any better. But now you know better, man. That's what I'm going to say to you. This is like a roadmap. Multiple different teachers, it's like same sort of fucking message. This is just my unique way of saying it. And it's my expectation that if you're listening in, there's deep value for this. But this is the path that you must take if you truly want to soften in, soft front, strong spine, so you can hold space for your own feminine, and from there hold space, masculine practice, be conscious awareness, practice presence, and hold space for the wounds of your kingdom. That's the kingly practice, king archetype. The king holds space for the wounds of his kingdom. That makes you an inarguably valuable partner to be with, because when you can ferociously love and accept yourself, thus by extension you can ferociously love and accept whatever your queen needs to experience in her nervous system, you are the most healing presence in her life, in her whole human existence. That's fucking masculine practice. That's true embodied love. Are you able to do that? Man, I will say, if this ignorant old dog from Ireland shows up in this way, man, it's the good, the bad, the ugly. I don't get it perfect every day. It's rare a day that I get it perfect, but I keep showing up like this. If this ignorant old fucking sea dog can have turned around his inner world, I was suicidal on many different points in my adult life. Deeply suicidal. Triggered from my marriage. Triggered. Not caused. Triggered. It revealed my undealt with pain. If I can reorient myself and I still practice this on a daily basis, ferociously loving and accepting whatever comes up and holding space, and I don't make it personal, take it personal, I don't project any stuff. That's my practice, not, there's some stuff I do project, but predominantly she feels safe. If I can do it, I'm fucking telling you, you can. With full love, and I'm just going to say you are beautiful and you are lovable, because you just fucking are. There is that absolute reality. Doesn't matter what's coming up in your mind. You're beautiful and lovable because you're listening in. You have an ocean of love inside of yourself, for you, for your queen, for your life. And you want that love to be felt. You want connection. You desire the connection. You desire your queen to feel your love. And you desire that harmony. And you desire to grow old together in a beautiful, expansive spiritual journey that's just fucking blissful. And you can do that with this queen. Man, you're beautiful and lovable because you're listening in. I witness and I honor that intentionality inside of you that wants to embody love in such an unfuckwithable mountainous presence that you just will be unshakable. That's why you're here. I honor that part of you, and hey, you're beautiful and lovable because of that part that shows up here, listens in insatiably. So many of you are sort of fanatical in how you listen in, and if you dip your toes in every now and then, man, and you're in this episode, high honoring off you, man. Perfectly in alignment with the mantra for movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow, and I'd say I will invite Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Application call link is always in the podcast description, in the notes. on whatever platform you are, it takes 5-10 seconds of courage. To most guys will need support on this journey with other men ferociously loving and accepting you, and your nervous system feels that you're just safe to do whatever with a ton of fucking brotherly challenge to up your fucking game and up your standards. The new intake is going to be happening very early in the new year, so put yourself in the mix, man. Make 2024 your absolute best year yet in your inner world, and hey, your outer world will follow suit really, really soon, aka you will be the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. With deep bows and brotherly love from Roscommon, Ireland, go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.